Good evening. Good to have you back tonight. We're going to be in the book of Haggai. Haggai is three books back to the left of Matthew in the Old Testament. Title lesson, It Pays to Do the Will of God. It's talking to Israel, but same God rules over all kind, and the way he functions with Israel, the same way he functions with our world, and it has a great bearing upon where we're at in America and the rest of the world at this point in time. In verse 1, in the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and the governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak and the high priest, saying, verse 2, thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. You know, God talks to the governor, the political leader, and the high priest, the religious leader. And the people are saying it's not time to build my temple. Now, they were carried away in captivity in 606 B.C. by the Babylonians, 597 and 586. They just finished the job at that point. Jeremiah promised in 70 years they'll come back, wrote it down. Cyrus the Great takes over the world, sends them back with money to build the temple. It's been 16 years, and we just laid a foundation. Your people saying it's not time. Well, he brings sends a prophet named Haggai. Verse 3, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? You know, let's assess the situation. You fellows are living pretty well, aren't you? You had time to build some mighty nice fancy houses, but you haven't had any time to build the Lord's house. I think the will of the Lord is you to get up and build the Lord's house. You know, it's time to get that done. You know, you back up just a little bit, a few books, Amos. And it's interesting, Amos chapter 3, verse 15, that Amos is talking to the 10 northern tribes who are going to go out of existence shortly. But there's a pattern that the people like these fancy houses, and they don't bother to do the will of the Lord. In Amos 3:15, I'll also smite the winter house together with the summer house. The houses of ivory will also perish, and the great houses will come to an end, declares the Lord. They got a summer house. They got a winter house. They got houses of ivory. They got these great houses. But nobody cares about the will of the Lord, and I'm going to smite them things, and you're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. Well, verse 5 of Haggai 1, now therefore, thus says the Lord, consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. You know? And then he's going to go to history here in verse 6. You have sown much, but harvest little. You're sure working hard, aren't you? How much are you getting out of your work? What kind of productivity are you getting? You're harvesting, you're sowing a lot, and you're harvesting a little. Crops not doing well, are they? You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You know, life can get miserable. You know, you just don't quite have enough. You know, to have a full stomach. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one's warm enough. I mean, you're hungry, still hungry. You're still cold. You're not satisfied. And all this work... And you're not getting a lot out of it. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. You like that phrase. He's got another one coming too. But it seems like our society. I mean, there's all this churning going on and everybody's coming up short. You got purses with holes in it. You're going home with your payday and somehow when you get home, it's not all there. You don't have what you made. Something went wrong. You know, they probably need to focus on building the temple. Verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. Boy, if you're just doing things to glorify God, to please God, everything's wonderful. You know, so go up there, let's go up there and get some wood, and let's start building the temple here, so that I'll be pleased. I'm not pleased. Why do you think you got a purse with a hole in it? I'm affecting your economy. directly. So why don't we build the temple? Verse 9. And also be glorified. You build this temple, everybody can see that you've got a great God, that you're bound to your God, and He's getting glory because you're doing His will. Verse 9. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little when you bring it home. This is history. He says, think about it. Consider your ways. How's it going, guys? I blow it away. You bring it home and what? I blow it away. I do it. I am making sure you're in a bind here. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house which lies desolate while each of you runs to his own house. That's why. Doing the will of God here. What you're supposed to be doing. And I'm not happy with all this. Verse 10. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce because of you. Okay, the prophets don't mince any words. You know, we put the fault where the fault is. It's your fault. You know, it's not God's fault. I mean, God's taking action based on you not doing the will of God. And the sky, it withholds the dew, and there don't seem to be no produce coming up out of the earth here. Verse 11, and I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and all the labor of your hands. I mean, a drought, there's nothing coming out of it, nothing. You know, even the poor animals are out there moaning and groaning. There's no feed. You know, Jeremiah talks about the deer giving birth and there's no grass, so she just leaves the baby. You know, or you talk about barn. We don't need no barns in Joel 2 because we don't have no crops. You know. Well, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Malachi is 100 years later. Last book in the New Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. Well, come on back to verse 9. You're cursed with a curse. For you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. You know, they're not giving you the tithe. So they're cursed with a curse. You know, this is not going well. Verse 10. Here's the opportunity to do better. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I'll not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. He said, test me. I mean, things aren't going well with you because the way you're treating me. But you know, I can open up the windows of heaven. You know, all you got to do is open them, you know, like we open them outward or up. You open them from heaven and what? The blessings just flow down and they're going to overflow. We can change this real quick. You quit cheating me. Verse 11, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. I'll rebuke the devourer. I sent it. I can call it off. You know, and though Egypt there, and they don't want to let the people go. So God sends the plagues on them. You know, and just doing the will of God, he'd probably be better off. He'd probably save a lot of misery. Well, God doesn't change. In verse 12, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. How much the Lord has an effect on our prosperity, or vice versa? Or are there certain cycles that we need to correct things in, you know, the 1929 and the next decade? Was a completely opposite world to live in, you know, and there's nothing nobody could do about it. In Haggai chapter 1, verse 12, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest with all the remnant of the people. Only a few come back from captivity. Some of them liked it over there because it wasn't bad. They didn't come back, the people of God, to the promised land. But the governor and the high priest and the remnant obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. In the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God is sinning. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. verse 13, and Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. Boy, what a good verse to hear. I mean, but the way it's written here, he's a messenger of the Lord by the commission of the Lord. Whatever he says, the Lord backs. You know, whatever Peter binds will be bound in heaven. Whatever he loses will be loosed. These guys have great power. And so he says, I'm with you now. You start laying the building down and we'll go. I'll work with you. Well, you come over to chapter 3. Well, chapter 2, verse 15. But now, do consider from this day onward, before one stone was placed in another in the temple of the Lord. Verse 16. From that time, when one came to a grain heap of 20 measures, there would be only 10. And one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there'd be only 20. You remember those days? Aline keeps the books and pays the bills because I'm on a run. And I'll ask her how much is in the bank account. Now, she's not up to date a lot of times, but I can figure it out in my head. Just give me the numbers. And she's sharp quite a bit. It gets silent on my end. You know, I know it has to be there. You know, but we got to figure out why it's not there. You know, but it's a shock. You come to expect so much, and you look in the well, and what? There's not what you thought was there. You know, she just left it out. You know, but you got to. But it's a shock. He said, "You remember that? How this used to work? You never had what you thought you had. It always come up short." Verse 17, I smote you in every work of your hands with blasting wind, mildew, and hail, yet you did not come back to me, declares the Lord. All I want is my temple built. You're the people of God. I need some reverence. I need some obedience here, and I'll bless you. I control this. 18, do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider. 19. Is the seed still in the barn? Even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree? It is not born fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you. Doing the will of God is going to pay here. We got seed. You can put it in the ground, and I'll make sure it produces. You come out ahead here. But let's build a temple. Well, Psalms 128. Go back to it. Then just an interesting reference talking about the basic things that mean everything and where you can find contentment and peace with the Lord working with you in the midst of all the trials and the struggles. The church is not the nation of Israel, where He deals with us as a nation, but we live amongst nations who may have problems with the Lord. You try to root out Christianity for 20 years and you may have financial problems. You probably should expect it. But what about the Christian that fears the Lord? What about the person that fears the Lord? Verse 1. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you'll be happy and it'll be well with you. You really don't need no more than that. I mean, you work hard, you come home, but what? You're content. You're not always concerned and worried about where this is going to come from or what we're going to do next. Verse 2, you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you'll be happy and it'll be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. You know, the joy and the life and the light and the just a nice, wonderful situation, you know, because you fear the Lord. You're doing His will, and the Lord's working with you, and you don't need all this greedy stuff and all this far beyond where you're at. You just need to get by and learn to enjoy it. Verse 4, behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. And may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Talking about the nation of Israel and prosperity. And may everybody just fear the Lord their lifetime. in Jerusalem. And we won't be going through Amos and Malachi and Haggai and Zechariah. I don't have to be sending those guys. And I won't have to be calling droughts and sending blasting wind and mildew and bringing all kind of grief on you people. Just fear the Lord. Verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion. And may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. That's kind of a beautiful psalm that kind of goes with it. You know, seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. That's what life's all about. Fearing the Lord, doing what's right in His sight, letting His standard be your standard, and you don't need to worry. It's going to work out. You know, sometimes people get astray. They get Israel in the first century was lost. And Jesus says, unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. I'm your only way out. Peter gets up on Pentecost, starts quoting Joel. The worst of the worst things he could have quoted. It was the scariest of places to start in Joel 2. The sun turns dark and the moon turns to blood and the day of the Lord's coming. And oh, you probably need to run for your lives because it's going to be bad. But he changes the words. It would be wonderful. Because we're now offering Jesus as the payment for your sins. But he don't say that. He says that you killed him. You crucified him. The Lord raised him from the dead. You used those godless Romans to do it, but you did it. And if you don't join the side of Jesus, whom God backs, your enemies are God. Some people stop and say, what shall we do? They got a fear of the Lord in this fisherman preaching. How they got it had to be the work of the Lord. Out of all those people there from all those nations. And he said, repent. And let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you should get the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your children. As many as far off, the Gentiles, as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself. We're opening a whole new world of oneness with God spiritually through the death of Jesus and baptism. You and I have reasons to. We see Job struggling this morning with his problems. You know, gigantic problems and having no idea how a righteous man ends up in such terrible fix and have to endure it in the right way. And he does. Hearing you and I see clear God, especially in the Old Testament, how he deals with nations, he doesn't change. He's dealing the same way today, except Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords now. He's doing it. Revelation is about his blood-splattered robe there. And it's not talking about the cross. It's talking about hand-to-hand combat and people dying and the blood's up to the horses' bridles for 200 miles. We're executing judgment here. And so Jesus dies for the sins of the world. And you and I see that. How can God bless us? Because of Jesus. I mean, if we fear God, and if we've escaped from our sins through baptism, how blessed we are. How much mercy have we received? How much grace are we beneficiaries of? Wow. And even when things turn bad, what? There's this settling factor within us that's eternal. And, you know, we can endure a lot of things. We just don't get caught on the wrong side. Because He can make things far worse for everybody. And if things get worse, we need God leading us. Helping us make good decisions at the right time. If you need to respond anyway, won't you come as we stand and sing?